Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of our podcast. Today's episode, we will be discussing the brilliant mind that is Jason Robert Brown in his iconic musical, The Last 5 Years. The Last 5 Years first premiered at Chicago's Northlight Theater in 2001. The show follows the lives of Kathy Hyatt and Jamie Wellerstein from first meeting to marriage to divorce, but in chronological and reverse chronological order. But we'll get to all of that within the actual podcast. So without further ado, we bring you The Last 5 Years. Enjoy.
Hi, Trey.
Hi, Kayla.
How are you this morning?
I am good. It is sunny in Chicago. It's a little cold, though, so I don't really understand what the weather is doing. And it's possibly...
I mean, it's cold here in Charlotte.
Yeah, but it's possible to snow here next week on Tuesday. And I'm like, that is April. We're almost in May. Stop. Global warming.
I mean, clearly Chicago doesn't understand that when we say showers, we mean rain showers, not snow showers. Oh. But I mean, here in Charlotte, it is cloudy as can be and like 66 degrees. So
I wish it was like, 66. I think it's like 40 today. 40 something?
Ew. What?
It might be 50.
And this is from someone that likes cold weather.
Yeah, it's 44 today.
I like cold weather like I like my heart. Ice cold.
Okay, Elsa. So for the audience members who are listening to this, if you are listening to this, thanks for coming back. We appreciate you so much. Today we'll be discussing one of my favorite musicals, one of my favorite off-Broadway musicals since it has never been on Broadway, the iconic musical written by Jason Robert Brown, The Last 5 Years. So if you've listened to...
It's such a good musical.
Such a good musical. And if you listen to the opening intro, which, why would you skip it? It has my lovely voice in it. I was talking about how The Last 5 Years was first premiered at Chicago's Northlight Theater in 2001. And it's about Kathy Hyatt and Jamie Wellerstein from their first meetings to their marriage to their divorce. We follow Kathy as we go through reverse chronological order. We follow Kathy as we go through reverse chronological order, showing the end of their marriage all the way to the beginning for her. And with Jamie Wellerstein, we go from the beginning of their relationship all the way to the end for him, where the only time we see them connect together is in the middle during his proposal and their kind of wedding vows and marriage moment.
It's so good. Like, it's just a very clever way of kind of like describing a relationship.
Describing a relationship and also basically the dangers that come about when one partner is succeeding more so than the other partner. And probably, to be quite honest, this musical is probably one of the main reasons why I just think I should never date another artist, or at least someone who is in the same field as I am, because I'm a lighting designer, and I can be honest with myself and say, if I was dating or married to another lighting designer and they were more successful than I am, like they were getting job after job after job, even though I was like, and I was just applying and applying and not getting anything, I would be absolutely devastated and wondering what they're doing right and what I'm doing wrong.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I mean, as someone that has definitely dated another artist in like a long-term relationship where, you know, her dreams were like going off and being realized and I'm still kind of like, you know, sitting there trying to figure out what the hell I'm going to be doing with my craft, you know, it definitely takes a toll on you. And not only does it take a toll on like you when you're realizing that like, oh, like I'm not as successful as my partner, but I want to see them grow and succeed. But then you start noticing a lot of times your partner is getting more distant from you. And that is something that is really, really shown in The Last 5 Years. And it definitely tugs at my heartstrings just a little bit, especially that opening song. Like that opening song, I'm Still Hurting. That is such a sad song to start off a musical with.
And it's so interesting, especially that Jason Robert Brown wanted to start the song off this way, just because the show is inspired by his own failed marriage to Teresa O'Neill. Also, funny side story about that is she sued him because the story violated agreements within their divorce that showed, and it kind of showed a little too much reality to what they were doing. And then he countersued her for interfering with his creative work and process. And I was just like, why would you basically, you have this woman who, if the story is inspired by your life, she kind of has the right to be angry with you, because Jamie is not a great character. Like, I wouldn't say that Kathy's a great character either. They both have extreme faults, but Jamie took it that extra mile that just makes me not like him at all as much. Like, his song's beautiful. Him himself, not so much. Even though Robert Leo Buzz, I do love
Robert. Breaks up with her
Buzz.
With a letter.
Yeah, he breaks up with her with a letter after already cheating on her.
I think it was his assistant that
he cheated on her with.
The publicist.
Yeah, his publicist. But so the way Jason Robert Brown kind of settled, in the settlement that him and Teresa agreed upon, any like reference to Kathy being an Irish Catholic was changed. And also the song Shiska Goddess was originally I Could Be in Love with Someone, but he switched the Shiska Goddess just to reduce similarity between them, which is ridiculous that that was something that was just said agreed yes to. I feel like I would have fought that more personally if it was me, but I still love the musical and I still love the artistic stylings of Jason Robert Brown, but if he's basing himself off of Jamie, he's kind of an asshole. I mean, and I've watched some of his master classes on YouTube, and yeah, he's highly intelligent, but he's also not the best people person, I would say.
But also, like, what a artistic difference, like, breakup. And, like, having to take it, like, all the way to court to, like, you know, be like, hey, like, you can't do this type of shit with our relationship and, like, you know, broadcast it like that. That is absolutely, that's just crazy to me. Yeah. Like, how.
Although I will always.
How much of a legal battle this, like, musical was.
I will give him.
Because it was so personal.
I will give him some kudos just because of the fact that he didn't make his character seem, like, absolutely amazing. Like, he made his character seem, like, almost a little great, especially, like, in the beginning before the next 10 minutes song where they're both together. Then after that, we kind of see a little bit more of his assholishness. Like, he's very sweet in the beginning with everything he's showing, which kind of makes sense because I guess he's viewing it from how he was in the beginning of the relationship, since that's where it kind of starts for him in the beginning. And then he kind of turns into this, well, she's always jealous of me and that doesn't make for a great home environment, blah, 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 yada, yada. But back to the beginning of the musical where we have Still Hurting. It is probably the most sung song out of this whole musical. I mean, there's probably one other one, but for women even and for men and non-binary people, this song, Still Hurting, is probably the most listened to, the most sung as a sad piece musical. And because it just
it's one of the
hits all of those feelings from a broken up relationship. I mean, like, the very opening lyric, Jamie is over and Jamie is gone. And then Jamie's decided it's time to move on. I mean, come on. Like, in a relationship, if it's not, like, the mutual ideal of a, yeah, I think we need to break up, it's just that, it's that moment where one person just stops wanting to be with another. Yeah. And no matter which side of the thing you're on, that hurts.
Yeah, I mean, my best friend, Ashley, she absolutely loves this musical, and she sings this song, like, all the time. But she says that this song is one of the hardest audition pieces. Like, if you want to use a song as an audition piece, it's hard because of how much emotion is in it. And I think also she said, I think she mentioned something about, like, the way that it's sung is just like a little bit hard to use as an audition piece, but she still loves to sing it like all the time.
Like I'm honestly looking at the lyrics right now just so I can talk about it, and just looking through the artistry that JRB has put into this and how like Jamie's convinced that the problems are mine. Jamie is probably feeling just fine. These are feelings that I've had about people that I've liked. And I've convinced myself like, oh, I'm the problem in this, or I'm sure they're feeling just fine because you look at their social media platform. This was, of course, before social media was a thing, like Twitter and Facebook and all that. And so it's just like...
Even MySpace.
And so you're just like, yeah, Jamie was probably feeling just fine because he's the one who broke it off. He left you with a letter on your table and didn't even have...
In a home that you shared.
And didn't even have the fucking... bravery to just be there, standing there while you're there and saying that. And honestly, if I were directing it, I think that's what I would do. I would actually have him like in the music before the opening, before the first lyric comes about, I would have him standing there in the home, and then I would have him and he's about to leave as she opens the door, and so then I would have him grab his stuff and then just walk past her, not without saying a word, and then the song would start. Mm-hmm. I think that's something, that's more powerful than her just sitting there reading the letter and then going into the song. I think just being able to see him physically leave is so much more gut-wrenching. I mean,
even though it is gut-wrenching, but then again, I can kind of see why he chose to do it, why JRB decided to do it like with a letter and everything like that, because, you know, you're seeing everything with Kathy going backwards and you see Jamie going forward. So if you see Jamie in the beginning, you already kind of have like a mindset of who he is when you see him leaving. But when you see him in the second song and he's singing like Shiksa Goddess when they're like first meeting, then you have like that first impression of him. So I can kind of see why he kind of did it with a letter, as douchey as it is. That way you can get a clearer idea of, like, each character, like, on their own.
Oh, yeah, know? And I completely agree with that. But there's this part of me that, like, connecting that moment when he... if they look at each other and then he leaves, and then we get to the very end of the show where he's singing his goodbye outside... I just think there's a nice connection right there. But yeah, so you have the first number where, again, we're seeing Kathy and she's singing this gorgeously beautiful written, sad breakup song. And it's from the very end of their relationship.
There are some lines from that song. There are some lines from that song that like really hit me. Like one of them is covered with scars. I did nothing to earn. Lesson to learn, I'm still hurting. That's like, whoa. Because, like, you know, when you're the one that's being broken up with, you're kind of like, you know, how, like, why did I deserve all this?
Honestly, I think my favorite line, the thing that really hits me the most, is Jamie is sure something wonderful died, decides his right to decide, but Jamie's got secrets he doesn't confide. And I'm just thinking, that is so true, because if you don't talk about the things in your relationship, that's how they die. And Jamie nor Kathy really talked about the things that were troubling them.
I mean, it's true of any relationship, like whether it's a romantic or a platonic relationship. If there's no communication between you, I mean, yeah, that thing is going to fall apart, which is really, really hard.
And if you're listening to the original Broadway recording, which, original off-Broadway recording, which I think everyone should, you will... Sherry Renee Scott's voice is divine in the way she sings that. Like, what a woman. Cool. So moving on to the next song, which is it's a big switch from what we were just feeling, the emotions everyone was just feeling in the audience, as you sit there and you listen to Kathy sing about the hurt and loss that she now has after marrying this person. Also, just to recap, but to bounce back for a second, the last 5 years. The reason it's called the last 5 years because it's literally going through the last 5 years of their relationship from beginning to end. So they were only together for 5 years before they got the divorce.
Like probably not even married for maybe like even a year or so. Yeah. I don't know.
Like maybe 2 years at max was the marriage. But so yeah, so Shiska Goddess is the next song. It is a very fast flip from the sad notes, and you kind of, your body doesn't really have time to react because you go from this very sad, flowing, grandiose kind of melancholy music to this very bouncy, bum, but I'm bum, but it kind of thing. And so then we get into Shiska Goddess, where this is where he's first met Kathy. I think they've probably like gone on their first date, or they haven't, or they just literally met and they haven't even had a first date yet. And the first line you hear from him is, "I'm breaking my mother's heart." And he's doing that because Kathy is not a lovely Jewish girl, like the people that his mother wants him to marry. And so he's breaking his mother's heart by just saying, "Oh, well, you know, I'm dating this Catholic girl and not this Jewish girl."
Yeah. And then, like, the song kind of, like, lists, like, you know, the women that he has been with before her. And you know how, like, when you get into, like, a long-term relationship, like, you know, I feel like a lot of times, like, in the beginnings of, like, a relationship, you kind of talk about, like, you know, your exes and just being like, oh, yeah, these are the people that I have been with before. And these are one of the things of why this relationship, like, did not work.
Yeah, and it's also funny just because the lyrics in this song, I guess to give, like, the audience some brevity away from the heaviness that is the opening bit of the song, he also lists, like, I will date whoever. It does not matter. Like, you could have a shaved head. You could be from Spain or Japan or the back of a van. But just as long as you're not from Hebrew school, because he doesn't want to continue dating Jewish women, because he's done it. He's tired of it. He wants something new and fresh. And so he's just like, I'll date you, but I will not date anyone who is Jewish. Which, problematic, yes. But it's written in such a hilarious way that most people don't really think about how problematic it is that he's just like, oh yeah, no, I'm so tired of dating Jewish women. It's not my interest anymore. And it kind of reminds me of how, like, some black men in the black community, how they're just like, oh, I'll only date white women or other Asians or Latinas, but I will not date black women because they're too messy and they fight me too much. And it's just such a horrible stereotype, and it really makes people feel unworthy.
Oh, wow. That's something I never even really, like, considered comparing to, because the only thing that I can really think of is, you know, the religion aspect of it. I never thought about it in that aspect too. I'm like, oh shit, wow.
Oh yeah, no, okay. The older I get, the more I kind of like look at these songs and I'm like, I mean, I get where they're coming from with it, but I mean, there are still subtle things in it where it's almost like it's not trashing on those Jewish religious girls or anything like that. I cannot speak for the Jewish community, so it might be. But I get that he wants something new, but I don't know if he just had to say it the way he says it in this musical.
Well, remember, we're supposed to hate Jamie, because Jamie's kind of an asshole.
Well, you're not supposed to hate Jamie in the beginning. Because I realized that the more I listened to it, because Jamie is very sweet and go-lucky. And the Shmuel song that comes later on is like his second or third song that he sings. He's very loving and caring. And we're supposed to see that. And it's supposed to be like a juxtaposition between Act One, or the first half of the musical, and then the second half where we kind of see his downward spiral.
I mean, yeah, like this first song to me, my initial thoughts of it was, you know, it's puppy love. Like when you first meet someone and you're like, you know, head over heels, like in love with them, it's like, you know, like, oh man, like all of this like crap that I have been through like before with other women. And now I'm like here with this woman, and it just feels so right and so happy. And it just kind of like brings you back to like your first long-term love and like, you know, quote unquote, what I like to call like, you know, breaking the cycle of waiting for someone that is just completely like brand new and different. So yeah, I can relate to him in that aspect. Not necessarily like, you know, I'm wanting to date somebody like, you know, outside of my Christian heritage. To me, I'm kind of like, religion's not that big of an issue for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of like, you know, I am willing to just kind of date. Well, actually, no. Right now, I am not looking to date anybody. But
I mean, I am. If anyone, if any male or non-binary person out there is single and wants to mingle, let's go.
I am just looking for friends, y'all. Like, that's kind of all I'm looking for at this point in time. But who knows? Maybe further down the line, we can start something. Wink, wink.
Never say wink, wink again, please and thank you.
No.
I do find it interesting, though, that the very last line of the song is, I could be in love with someone like you. And I don't know how I ever feel about that line, because it's like, I could be in love with someone like you. Like, you're interesting enough and you're more so not the stereotypes that I'm supposed to be with, that I could be in love with you. Even if it will, like, break.
It's also like,
heart.
You know, that first bit of love, you never want to say, I love you first, you know?
Oh, no, I do
that's
all the
always,
time.
Like, the scary
I
thing.
I do it all the time. I don't fucking care.
I mean, like, I say I love you to my friends, but, like, you know, there's a difference between saying, like, I love you and I love you, you know?
Well, I mean, so, even in relationship, I can still say the words I love you as long as I'm not saying I'm in love with you, because that's the difference to me. It's well, I love you versus I'm in love with you.
That's kind of like more that I was like trying to get to, but you just got it there for me. So like, you know, I could be in love with someone like you. So that's how I can kind of see it, like with that song. Like when you first meet somebody, you're just like, I love you. But like, you know, love means so many different things. It's all like the different like connotations and words that you add to it that give it a little bit more meaning. So I could be in love with someone like you. That, you know, is kind of like the start of like, you know, hey, this is like the beginning of our relationship. Let's see where this goes from here, you know?
Yeah, I get that. That's fair. That is a fair point. But then I don't know, like, as we go through the rest of this show, like, we also have the song See I'm Smiling, and this is basically Kathy's song before, again, the divorce song, technically. It gets a weird little mushed up when you're, like, trying to think about it chronologically versus reverse chronological. And mm-hmm. So she's basically sitting on a pier, and she's supposed to be talking to Jamie, but again, in the way that the show is usually represented, Jamie usually isn't there. If we're talking about, like, the stage representation. I believe in the movie they actually did have Anna Kendrick and Jeremy Jordan sitting on the same pier at that time. But in the stage versions, he's usually...
Yeah, the movie version is very, very different. They keep all the same songs, but the way that they set everything up is very different from the stage version, which, unfortunately, I'm more familiar with the movie version than I am with the stage version, but for the purpose of this podcast, I am only talking about the songs. I'm not talking about the action that happens on stage. Just thought I had to throw that out there.
And so you can see how much Kathy is trying to connect with Jamie in this song. Because she's like, see, I'm still smiling. We're still laughing at the jokes I'm making. We'll have to just try a little harder and bend things to and fro to make this special, make this love as special as it was 5 years ago. And then she also, and the line that really tears me up is like, I mean, you made it to Ohio. You finally came to see one of my shows. Even though you're this big writer, you were finally able to take time away from that and then come see one of my shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just so heartbreaking to see how much Kathy is trying to make things work in the end, even though there's probably a part of her that knows that nothing she does is going to work.
Mm-hmm. It's always that hard little bit, like, when you're getting close to the end of a relationship, you're trying so hard to make things work because you don't want to be angry at each other. And so, you know, the I think we're going to be okay, we're doing fine, you know, that is just something that's just so heart-wrenching. Because the beginning part of the song, you hear her say, like, you know, hey, look, we're smiling. The spark's slowly starting to come back and everything like that. And then the second half of the song is, you know,
it's the fact that he gets a phone call and he has to leave to go to a party. And she knows why he's going to those parties. Because she's like, I didn't know you had to go so soon. I thought we had a little more time. Look, whatever, if you have to, then you have to. So whatever. And she's trying to just be like, you know, whatever, it's fine. I don't care. Do what you need to do. I will attempt to support you. But then she completely flips around. You're like, you know what makes me crazy? And then she's like, I'm sorry, can I say this? You know what makes me nuts? Because at this point, she's had it. And I don't fucking blame Kathy in this moment. Because when you're asking your spouse, hey, come see my shows, come support me in this. Like, I've supported you in the novels you've been writing. I've gone to your parties. I've met all of your little socialite friends. And you can't even come see one of my shows or even stay for a night just so we can be together. Fuck you, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because nothing is more harmful in a relationship than less quality time spent together. Like, do you need to spend every waking moment together? No. But the effort in trying to spend, like, quality time with somebody, like, actually spending time with them, not like having sex all the time or, like, you know, showering them with affection. It's actually, like, the quality time of, like, you know, going somewhere and, like, sharing an experience with them or even, like, supporting the other person in their dream and, like, making everything be, like, you know, 50-50. And the fact that it is shown in this song how much Jamie is putting forth with his dream and everything, mm-hmm. and how little and how, like, not as supportive he is with Kathy's is kind of, you know.
Can I just say, I was reading further along in the lyrics for this song, and I completely forgot, because I listened to the soundtrack a while ago, but I was also cooking while I was listening to it, so I didn't fully submerse myself in it. But he's literally leaving to go to another party on her birthday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
On her birthday. And also in the line, and you could, God forbid, even see my show. So he hasn't even seen the fucking show yet. So it's her birthday. He hasn't seen her fucking show. He did show up, but he didn't even, like, then he's leaving before he needs to. I just, like, that's, she should have left. Fuck Jamie. She should have fucking left. That asshole.
It's also just, like, the fact that he's willing to leave that fast. Like, I don't know.
He's willing to leave that fast. And, oh, my God, the last, stanza, you could say, because it is poetry. But, like, the last stanza here, I swear to God, I'll never understand how you can stand there straight and tall and see I'm crying and not do anything at all. Like, it's just, like, that's a 1-2 punch from Jason Robert Brown. The first punch on Still Hurting and the second punch on this one. And it's just like, what are you doing to my emotions? And then he just pushes us back into this happy, jaunty thing because then we get to Moving Too Fast. And Moving Too Fast, this is one of my favorite songs to sing. Like, when I used to audition for shows, when I still thought that I was going to do the whole actor thing, this was my go-to song. And this is literally Jamie just being like, oh, after the first date, we're still doing this. We're still going great. We're still going strong. Kathy Hyatt is amazing. And I'm feeling fine. But things feel like they're moving too fast, but they're moving in a great way because I got a girl. I just got my novel represented. And they're going to pay me a shit ton of money to be able to do it. And everything's going.
And
we're going to move in together. And before 24, all of this before he's 24 years old.
Which is another crazy thing to talk about in this song of, like, you know, when someone's success is moving way faster than the other person's success. Because, like, they're both in the entertainment industry. I mean, he's a writer.
Yeah, and she's
and, you know, books
and she's an actress. And
and she's an actress.
But...
And the fact that he's barely even 24 and he's getting all of the success kind of right off the bat and she still hasn't quite, like, gotten there yet.
Which in the beginning is fine because this is, like, this is year one. They're still in that lovey-dovey stage. And so her... Seeing him mm-hmm. doing great, like, for any relationship, seeing someone, like, you love and care about doing great, you're just like, yay, that's awesome, I'm so happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't wait for it to also be my turn, but for right now, you're doing an amazing fucking job, and I'm so proud of you, and because that's basically what the next song, a part of that, is it? And so that's, like, one of the other songs later on in the show where she talks about kind of, like, being in Ohio where she always seemed to get work, but and then seeing his book on stand, and all things considered, I guess you don't have to buy it, and then she just buys a book anyway to show her support.
Yeah, so with that next, with the third song that we hear from Kathy. Yeah,
a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm a part of that. The one line that I hear is follow in his stride instead of standing side by side. That is something that I'm just like, oh shit. I can relate to that. Like being like going to parties and something that's like, you know, celebrating, you know, the success of like your loved one and everything like that. When you've gone to so many of them.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of like, you know, oh, yeah, I am the loving, devoted partner that is supporting her in her dreams.
And
so she's off socializing with everybody. And it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, like I'm literally just in your shadow.
And like in this song, all of your success. Because literally what she's saying in the song, especially from the beginning, because it's just like, one day we're just like Leave It to Beaver. One day it's just a typical life. And then he's off on a trip to Jamie Land. And this is kind of her unveiling of the rose-colored glasses that she's wearing. Because she's saying, mm-hmm. you know, everything is great one minute and then there's an issue the next. But then he'll smile. His eyes light up and deep within, without a sound, a moment comes to life. And then I'm a part of that moment. And then the next day, it's just like it never happened. Like, all the troubles never happened. We're making dinners. We're making plans. And then he's off on a trip to Jamie Land. And so it's like, and a part of, I feel like a part of Kathy is just feeling, well, I mean, I understand he's working. He's thinking of what his next book is going to be. And so I can understand that because I'm a part of it, even though I don't fully see the full process anymore, like I maybe was in the beginning. He smiles at me. We talk. We have dinner. We're having a great time. And then he just kind of goes off onto his own little world, and I'm not there anymore.
He just kind of shuts down.
And then at like near the very end where she says, I'm a part of that. I'm a part of that. Aren't I? And it's the question of, am I still a part of his worldview of the life that he wants to live and plan?
Or am I just kind of like this separate, like, entity that isn't fully part of Jamie Land?
Yeah, and we kind of start to see that contention from his view in the Shmuel song, which is the next song for Jamie, just because of the fact that, first, the story, new and unpublished, and he's trying to make her feel better because she auditioned for another show, she didn't get picked for it, or she's once again stuck in Ohio doing a show that she doesn't want to do because she wants to get out of Ohio and do bigger and better things with her life, which always I find hilarious because it is Sherry Renee Scott who is the actress, and I'm just like, girl, you doing it, you doing your thing. But I mean, it's a cute moment to where he's trying to make her feel better on Christmas, and singing the Shmuel song, where he's basically basing the character off of her, and he's trying to say, I'm giving you unlimited time. There's no rush to do what you need to do. It's fine.
It's just so sweet. I mean, it is a little sad to kind of hear from the person that is, like, starting to succeed already. Like, you know, take your time. It doesn't need to happen, like, right away.
Yeah.
But his success is happening right away.
And, like, she's
But the fact that he's still... But the fact that he's still trying to, like, you know, be like, hey, you know, you're doing great. You're doing amazing. Like, you know, I know that you've had, like, another, like, bad audition that you didn't get picked for, but you know that there's going to be something out there that's going to be right for you. And, like, you know, you get to be happy.
Yeah. And,
that he just gets to, that he just keeps saying, like, over and over again, you know, with, you know, the clocks and everything like that. It's just so, it is really sweet.
And this is really, this, like, is sweet, probably, like, one of the moments where JRB tries to give some sympathy points to Jamie. I wanted to say Norbert Leo Butts, because that's who plays him, and I love Norbert Leo Butts. What a lovely, lovely man in everything he does. but yeah, because he's like, but shouldn't I want the world to see the brilliant girl who inspires me to write all these things? Don't you think that now is a good time to be the ambitious freak you are? So he's basically trying to, like, because right now she's working a temp job. She's working at a bar, cleaning ashtrays and everything. And then, like, he also says, here's a headshot guy and a new backstage. And backstage is kind of where actors will go to look at audition ads. And so he's like, here's a headshot guy. Go get your headshot done. Also, here's a new backstage. Look at this, where you're right for something on every page. Just take a breath, take a step, take a chance, and then take your time. It doesn't matter how long. You don't have to rush it. Just take it. And then the ending, how lucky I am to be in love with you, is probably the first time he said, I love you in that way. And I think that's what pushed Kathy to stay in that moment. Because I think she was in love with him too. And when you get later on to the show, you kind of see how, like, she's had all of these other men that she's dated and everything. And she's just like, these guys suck. So she finally finds this Mr. Right who understands her artistry, who's trying so hard to encourage her to do what she loves to do. And, like, these couple of songs, like the Shmuel song, A Summer in Ohio, and The Next 10 Minutes, are some of the most, in my opinion, beautiful songs, because they're showing, these are the only three songs within this that actually show the bright spots in their relationship. Mm-hmm. Because after the Next 10 Minutes, we get into a lot more of how Jamie is slowly becoming famous, and that he wants to basically date other women, even though he's already married this one. But A Summer in Ohio is literally Kathy. This is like Kathy's very jaunty, fun song. She's like, I could have a mansion on a hill, I could lease a villa in Seville, but it wouldn't be as nice as A Summer in Ohio with a gay midget named Carl playing Tevye and Porgy. Like, she's all up into this. She's like, yeah, A Summer in Ohio is great for where I'm starting. But at some point, I would love to be able to just move on. But I've met some interesting characters here. Like, I've met a gay midget named Carl. I've met a former stripper and her snake, Wayne. But she's also like, I could shove an ice pick in my eye. I could eat some fish from last July. But it wouldn't be as awful as A Summer in Ohio. Because she's like, she's trying to make it seem grand. In the movie, I know they usually have the two talking on the phone. I don't remember what they do in the stage production for this. And so it's like, Anna Kendrick and Jeremy Jordan, they're having this little funny, ha ha ha, a gay midget and a snake, Wayne. But then you're like, I could shove an ice pick in my eye. I do not want to stay in Ohio forever, especially when it keeps me away from cable, hot water, Vietnamese food, and you.
Yeah, it's always like, you know, the person that has to work a little bit harder on their dream because it didn't happen as fast as them. They're just kind of like, you know, hey, you know, we all got to start from somewhere. So, you know, doing this summer stock in Ohio is the best place for me to start and for me to get recognized and everything like that. So, because I think that's something that a lot of people can relate. You know, there have been, like, some summer stocks that, you know, some of us have been a part of, where we're just kind of like, oh, this is like the worst thing ever. But it's a good start.
And there's
a good experience.
And there's a moment in here where she's like teasing about something, because she says Richard, who I'm assuming is one of the actors in the show. And she was like, oh, yeah, I saw your book at a Borders in Kentucky. And I was looking at it, and Richard got really quiet and said, I guess you don't have to buy that. And so, like Mona Lisa, I smiled and I laid my Visa down. And then she's like, he wants me, but he ain't gonna get me. I found my guiding light. And son of a bitch, I guess I'm doing something right. I finally got something right. Like, she is mm-hmm. head over heels in love, happy with the person she has found, which it makes it so heart-wrenching when you're looking back at the beginning of the show. Like, sometimes I wonder what would have happened if it had been his ending and her beginning at the beginning. Because the impact of, like, seeing A Summer in Ohio and then listening and then watching as it goes to the end for her is just wild.
Well, isn't technically, like, once we get to the, like, you know, the next 10 minutes, is there technically an intermission for this show? Or does it just play all the way through?
I think it depends. I think I've seen some people play it all the way through, and I've seen some people take a break. But it's really, I don't, because I think how the music tech usually flows, there shouldn't be a break in it. But I guess it depends on who your audience is and how badly they have to pee after the next 10 minutes.
Right, yeah. But I mean, like, the way that the songs are kind of like set up, where you have, like, you know, The Summer in Ohio, and you have like that, the proposal song of, like, you know, in the next 10 minutes, it's a nice break for, like, you know, if you do have an intermission, like, after that point, that's kind of like, you are like, oh, all right, sweet, like, you know,
yeah,
this is where we're kind of at, like, in their relationship and everything like that. And you're left sitting there wondering, like, where is it going to go? Like, with Jamie going forward, you have to know that, like, when you're going forward, you're going to see Jamie kind of, like, breaking and falling apart in the marriage. But then you're going to see Kathy, like, growing and thriving in the relationship. So you have, like, this huge switch that happens. So for me, like, having that, like, intermission there, and after that, like big, that big song in the next 10 minutes, that's where, like, a good break is.
Well, I think what they're trying to do, What I would assume is trying to be done here is the next 10 minutes could technically be construed as the intermission, like the palate cleanser for people. Because, again, this song is the only time we see them together on stage in the stage version of it. And this is when they're both at the same point in time, when they're both madly in love. They propose, they get married. Can you spend the next... Will you share your life with me for the next 10 minutes? Will you give me 10 minutes more after that? Kathy says, I want to marry you. I want to have your child. But she's also, like, giving her false, like, I'm not always on time. Please don't expect that from me. But she's also like, I want to die knowing I had a long, full life in your arms. And so this is, like, I feel like this is that palate cleanser for everyone that they need.
Mm-hmm.
Even though at this moment you're probably, like, bawling your eyes out because you're like, oh, baby, that didn't happen. None of that happened.
Yeah.
you failed. You both failed. You both sucked We've ass seen... and you failed.
We have seen what happens from your perspective anyway. We have seen how it's all going to end. And it's just so just. But can we get into the next song, like, after that?
A Miracle Would Happen? Fuck yeah. Because Jamie, this is where we really see Jamie as the slimy fucking bastard he is. Because he's going through this whole fucking thing. And he's just saying, oh, well, you know, I'm married now, so I can't really fuck these women, can't really look at these women, but I kind of want to now because, you know, I'm famous. And as a famous person, I should be able to fuck women.
As a famous person, you want to be able to have, like, everything. And
yeah.
Have everyone. And the line, the challenge to resist temptation, and him over and over saying, we're fine, we're fine, we're fine.
Yeah, and it's like, in a perfect world, a miracle would happen and me and Kathy would just be the only people here. Everyone else would look ugly and I wouldn't have to stare at these women or these two breasts that are just walking by me. because that's not fair that I have to look at all these beautiful women, but I can't have them. And I'm like, fuck you, dude. You have a gorgeous woman that you married, that you asked to marry. Like, hey, spend 10 minutes with me and then spend 10 minutes more with me because I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And then you're just like, oh, hey, that woman's hot, but I can't fuck her. Damn.
And especially, like, you know, not being able to have, like, the confidence of, like, being with somebody and looking at that person and just being like, oh, wow, they're actually, like, a pretty good-looking person. Because a lot of, like, the successful marriages that I have seen, like, with my friends and everything, they're able to kind of, like, look at somebody and just be like, oh, you know, she's kind of cute, or, oh, he's kind of cute. And being able to just have that confidence, just be like, oh, yeah, like, you know, they're an attractive, good-looking person, but, you know, I have you, and you're the most attractive person ever. And he's just kind of sitting there just being like, just like he's pining.
He's pining and like his brain is like, boner alert. And there's the way Norbert Leo Butz says this one line in here, because it's like a miracle would happen and every girl would look like Mr. Ed and it'd be me and Kathy and nothing else would matter, but it's fine. You know I love her. And then he's also like, it's what I wanted. And I'm just like, bro, I could fucking punch you in the face right now and feel no remorse. Because he's trying to convince himself, you know I love her. It's what I wanted. It's not a problem. It's just a challenge to resist temptation. And I was like, no.
It's really not. Like, if you are truly in love with somebody, it's not hard to resist temptation.
And then you
I mean, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have Kathy, who is at an audition or at home or something, because she's like, when you come home to me, I'll wear a sweeter smile. And I was just like, girl, he's thinking about cheating on you. And you're just like, I can't wait for my husband to come home. Because I'll be so happy when he's here. Because right now, I'm just feeling very sad and gray. And I need someone I love and know who cares about me and wants me to make me feel better. Because I'm so proud to call you mine. And he's just like, no, I want to fuck this girl. But damn it, I can't. I'm married. It sucks. I'm like, dude. Oh, I want to kill
you. It's just like, well, dude, if you're already thinking about that, like, while you're married, dude, you do not need to be married.
Right. One of my biggest things about anyone who like who gets this inkling to cheat, like, bro, if for anyone, man or woman, non-binary, doesn't matter, but I'm just like, if you're thinking about cheating on someone, then break up with them, divorce them. Do not destroy their trust in humans, in love, in people, just because you decide that you want to go fuck somebody else behind their back.
Yeah.
Like, either you talk about having an open relationship, you talk about having a threesome, or you fucking break up with them. Do not cheat on people. Exactly. And that is my PSA for today.
That is a relationship advice from Trey.
That is a relationship advice from the Rambling Gay of Theater.
There we go. Mm-hmm. So the next song from Kathy is... I don't remember the name of it, climbing but it's basically about her doubting her.
It's climbing uphill, and she. This is her
climbing uphill.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's about like her doubting her dreams and like the grueling audition process. One line that I will always laugh at is, "These are the people that cast Russell Crowe in a musical." That is,
and they're not even talking about Les Mis, and that's hilarious.
Uh-huh. It's so funny to me just to hear that, and I'm like, oh my god. And her being like, you know, I will not be the girl waiting in the burbs. Like, she does not want to be, like, the one that's, like, waiting at home for, like, you know, her successful, like, you know, husband to get back. Oh, wait, no, they're not even married. They're not even, like, married at that point.
No, they're not married.
Because we're going backwards with Kathy.
Well, actually, yeah, you're right. They're not married yet.
Yeah, they're not, what, yeah, with the Kathy song, they're not married yet. Like, yeah, they haven't even, like, proposed yet.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, she's still even talking about, like, you know, I'm not going to be the one that's, like, you know, waiting at home for my man to be back from doing his successful thing. I'm going to be off and do and have my successes as well and work on it.
Yeah, and the funny thing about this is just because, like, most of the song is very much an actor's point of view and how an audition goes. Although I do want to say one thing, like a big difference from the movie to the musical, that I'm still not quite sure I understand why they did this, but there's one point where she says, "I'm climbing uphill, Jamie, climbing uphill," in the movie. But in the musical, she says, "I'm climbing uphill, Daddy, climbing uphill." And I don't know who Daddy is. I don't know if Daddy is supposed to be Jamie or she's talking to her actual father on the phone. And that has bugged me for years.
I would hope that it was actually like her talking to her dad.
Yeah.
On the phone.
So I'm just like, Jason Robert Brown, if you listen to this, can you let me know what Daddy versus Jamie is supposed to be? That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, please don't let Jamie be Daddy.
Please don't let Jamie be Daddy. Please don't let
that is just gross. We do not need that.
Don't let the person inspired by your story be Daddy.
Jason Robert Brown being Daddy. Nope. No.
He got them daddy fingers.
Hey!
Oh, God. People are going to hate this episode, but that's fine.
Let's move on.
So we're going to move on to If I Didn't Believe in You, which is probably the second most used song for an audition, I think. Just because, just like Still Hurting, it is very somber and has this timbre to it that kind of pulls at your heartstrings. But it's also Jamie being an asshole, as per usual, through the rest of this. And this is probably like the first time we're seeing their big fight at this moment. Mm-hmm. Because he's like, there are people who are publishing my book and there's a party they're throwing. I want to go to this party, but I don't want to go without you. So can you please get dressed and can we please just go? And then he's like, if I didn't love you, Kathy, then I wouldn't still be here. We wouldn't be having this argument right now. I would have just already been gone. I know you're disappointed to be touring again in the summer in Ohio, but I can't do anything about that. That is not my problem. And it's such a difference from this song and the Shmuel song. Because mm-hmm. in the Shmuel song, he was trying so hard to make her feel better. And in this song, he's like, I have important things I need to do, so you need to suck it up and let's go. And I'm just like, dude, what happened between that and then, other than you like seeing women you're fucking horny for and writing a book?
It's also just like, listening to this song, it kind of really puts in the mind frame. So I'm a workaholic. Like, yeah. I am always working on something, and it kind of makes me feel a little bit distant from some people, because I'm just like, I need to keep working on, like, you know, I need to keep working and like focus on like my dreams and everything like that. But there comes a time where I know that you're working so hard towards a goal or something. But there comes a time where sometimes you need to just stop and really look and see how you pursuing your dreams is affecting the important people in your life. And if you continually going to parties to socialize and to, like, you know, do all like this big like branding stuff for yourself is affecting the relationship that you have with your wife and the relationships with other people, that's when you truly just need to, like, you know, take a step for yourself and just be like, hey, I can't do this right now. You know, we need to stop. Like telling your publicist, we need to stop this party right now because I need to go and take care of my wife because she is going through a really hard time and I've been really distant from her.
Also, if there are people out there who don't know, who like fully don't understand what gaslighting is, look at the lyrics of this song. Listen to this song, because this is literally gaslighting 101 of what Jamie is doing to Kathy. He is trying to make her feel bad for the fact that she doesn't want to go to his fucking party with his book when she has been bombing show after show after show. And he's like, you know, if I didn't believe in you, we wouldn't be having this fight. If I didn't believe in you and the 10,000 women you are, then I wouldn't be standing here right now. I would have left a long time ago. If I didn't believe you, I'd walk out the door and say, Kathy, you're right. You're a horrible person. We wouldn't be. And I was just like, bro, that's not how you talk to people. And then he's like, if I'm cheering on your side, Kathy, why can't you support mine? And I'm like, what? She's supported you this whole time. She's bought your book. She's talked to other people about you. She's bragged about it. She just wants you to come see a fucking show that you've never come to see.
It's the true gaslighting of, like, you know, like, you know, yes, it's like really sad that like your success isn't being good, but my success is good. You should support me in my success and continue to support me in that success by always just like, it's like, oh, you're having a really bad time? Well, come to this party that's about me and you'll feel better.
Right. Like, guys, I didn't, when we started this podcast for today, I was not planning on this on being a Jamie hate train, but it's turned into a Jamie hate train. And I do not feel bad about that because Jamie is a piece of shit. Like, yes. I thought it was going to be like a tit for tat with both Kathy and Jamie. But I'm like, no, Jamie's terrible. So the next song, and we're very close to the end of the songs in the show. So we're looking at Kathy. This is once again going towards Kathy's beginning versus her ending. And this is basically when she first meets Jamie. And she's singing the song, I Can Do Better Than That. Because she's going through the woes of all of these men that she's dated before. And they've been terrible. But Jamie's different. Jamie's kind. He's smart. He's sweet. And I finally realized that I could do better than all those men. And that is Jamie.
Because I think, isn't this also, I know in the movie version, this is when Kathy is taking Jamie to meet her parents. Is that the same way in the stage version?
I'm not really sure, because I know in this one, because again, they're just kind of, because Jamie's not on set with her.
Right.
In this. So she's really just mostly singing and acting to herself and to the audience.
Yeah. But you could stage it in a way that it's the meeting of the parents, but
and it's like, you don't have to get a haircut. You don't have to change your shoes. You don't have to like Duran Duran, just love me. She's like, you don't have to do any of these other things. Just love me the way I am. And she's like, I think I might have found
just be
that.
Yourself.
And then of course we go over to Nobody Needs to Know.
And then you get to the next song.
And Nobody Needs to Know is basically the cheating song of Jamie Wellerstein, because he's like, Kathy doesn't need to know that I'm fucking you. And I feel guilty about it, but it doesn't mean I'm going to stop, because you make
that
me
is
feel
just the douchiest
special.
Thing.
Yeah, it is. It's so. And this is the point where, like, I don't know anyone who can like still be in love with the idea of Jamie Wellerstein in the show, because he's just like, because it there are moments where it's trying to make it seem like sympathy points, because all right, the panic recedes, everyone bleeds, I got what I need and nobody needs to know. And it's just like, don't tell. And I don't know. It's just this song. It would be such a great audition song if it wasn't just so sleazy in what he's doing. And finally, everyone, we get to the very last song, where we see both Kathy and Jamie. And so this is, and so kind of like how you see Jamie's very first song in the show. This is Kathy's, where she's happy. She's in love. Don't kiss me a goodbye again. Leave this nice, clean, and quiet. You want the last word. You want me to laugh, but leave it for now. And she's like, we just had a great first date, and I really, really like you, and it's great, and it's wonderful, and I feel like a brand new person. I feel like a brand new human being, and I can't wait to see you again. And that's why, and she sings, and goodbye until tomorrow, and goodbye until the next time you call, and I will be waiting for you, because you make me feel so damn brand new. And it's and then on the flip side, you have Jamie, and who has literally just left the house after leaving the note on there. It's like, it's not about another shrink, it's not about another compromise. We're just hurting each other at this point, so it's time for me to close the bank account, because they had a joint bank account, guys. And like, in the fact that he's still
end this musical so
Kathy
sad.
For all the problems, because he's like, I can never rescue you all you ever wanted, but I can never rescue you no matter how hard I tried. All I could do was love you hard and let you go. And I'm just like, dude, you weren't even there half the time. She tried. She just wanted you to be there for her, to see her fucking shows, to comfort her. And you were all fucking your publicist. But anyway. Oh my God, this musical is so heart-wrenching. It is so beautiful. I'm sure all of you have listened to it before. I'm sure there's some bootlegs on YouTube that you can watch of the original off-Broadway showing of it or anything else. I thought, honestly, I would talk more about Jason Robert Brown in this and how iconic the music is and how crazy that man's fucking key playing is. But this just, I need to get all this frustration about Jamie out, apparently. So thank you for listening to my therapy podcast.
But something that I want to pose a question to you, Trey. Do you think this musical would work if both Jamie and Kathy were women?
I honestly think this musical could work for any situation. It can be female-female, male-male, non-binary to non-binary, trans to trans. It traverses those types of boundaries. And it could work for anyone, as long as there are people out there who have been in a relationship before and they understand the hurt that comes from a broken relationship, they can do this musical.
Like, I just want to hear it from, I just want to hear like all the different like sides of like, you know, different types of relationships singing this musical. Because I think it would just be really, really cool just to not have like a straight relationship, have like, you know, throw some gayness in there. It is Broadway. Well, off Broadway,
so. More gay on the West End probably, but
yeah, probably.
But great, everyone, thank you so much for listening to our breakdown of the last 5 years. We appreciate you for listening in, and we cannot wait to see you next time.
Bye-bye.